Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. We are just bursting with automotive fervor. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
This episode was produced by Super Tutor Jason Daphnis, who you can find on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. And look over there. It's kids spelled with a Z. I don't know. Also with us today is a very special returning guest. Please welcome back to the show, Allegra Frank. Allegra, how are you doing today?
Good. I am, I don't know. I wish I had something funny to add, but I'm just like good. Standard.
Yeah.
it's good to be good.
Yeah. Standard fare, standard issue good.
Yeah, it's great to hear. Things will probably remain pretty standard and regular for the next hour or so. So we have that to look forward to, which is awesome. It should be noted that we are here today to talk about episode 94 of Hey Arnold. For those of you keeping track at home, that is season 5, episode 14, going by production code order. We're going to start with episode A, which is called Phoebe's Little Problem. Original air date, June 8th, 2004. Wikipedia sanctioned episode summary is as follows. After eating an entire box of Arnold's grandma's homemade prune cookies on the bus to school, Phoebe accidentally, quote, cuts the cheese, unquote, thanks Wikipedia, into a microphone while accepting an award. The incident leaves her feeling humiliated and she resolves not to return to school. And let's shout out the folks who made this episode possible. Christine Kolosov directed this particular ep, and Michelle Lamoureux and Steve Vixton did the writing. Let's get into some takes. Emily, we can kick it to you first. What did you think about Phoebe and her little problem?
So I had never seen this episode, and it's a pretty wild one in the series. I don't think we have any other episodes that are so focused around farting other than like the camping trip episodes with Grandpa. But a harsh humiliation for Phoebe in this one. Definitely feel for her, just being that it's so over the top of an embarrassing moment, with like she farts directly into the microphone with the microphone behind her while she's on stage in front of the entire school. Can't imagine a more like over the top cartoonish way to address like a humiliation for a youngster in school than that. And aside from that, also the dramatic string opening, it's kind of like a musical number, like not just music, but you know what I mean? It's like musical. Really nice to set the tone for how dramatic this episode is, I guess. And including how Phoebe decides she's going to deal with this problem, which is that all of the kids at school aren't going to let her live this down. They are nonstop in every single scenario at school, addressing the fact that she farted in front of the class into the microphone. So everything in Simmons classroom, at lunch, at recess, every single moment, anyone in the school has anything to say, whether they're learning a lesson or just playing or whatever, has to do with the fact that this happened for Phoebe. So it's just like truly the most cartoonishly mean version of the kids too, like that maybe we've ever seen, because every single kid character is being just as harsh as possible. They're nonstop 24/7. And so Phoebe's dramatic way of like solving this issue is to simply just never go back to school. She's like, yep, no, I'm done. That's going to be it for me. And that's how I'll get past this, is I'll just never return to PS-118, which we know can't last for too long, hopefully, because she likes school and she likes her friends. She needs to be back there if possible. So thought it was pretty on brand for Simmons to make a plan to have the entire class go to Phoebe's house and address her one by one, telling her how much they care and all of this. Stinky's poem was lovely. Helga had such a rough non-attempt of getting to Phoebe. But yeah, so they all went up there. Simmons is the only one who really got through to her, and it was his plan to do this in the first place, so that's good. And I think the message of just like dealing with something that's so humiliating or embarrassing, especially around your peers, is just really hard. And the only way to get past it is, I guess, owning it or just trying to let, you know, it not get to you as much. But what Phoebe does, yeah, is own it and gets up in front of class and then turns the tables on the class, being like, y'all are the ones who should be ashamed. Which is true, because they were bullying her 24/7 about this. One other thing I guess I'll say about it is I think it's also very on brand for Warts to have done the ear-shattering microphone feedback next to the speaker. I really liked that characterization for him, and Simmons making that plan to go to Phoebe's house and talk to her and her parents and everything. But yeah, I want to hear what y'all think.
Yeah, likewise. Really great characterization, Emily. But let's get Harry's takes into the party. Harry, what'd you think, Hairberry?
Yeah, thanks, Cody. I really like this episode, and I always feel bad saying I'm surprised when I really like a season 5 episode, because I feel like that's kind of like the soft bigotry of low expectations, right? But I feel like this episode had a lot of the like classic kick of like what I would call like a golden age Hey Arnold episode, and it even sort of like returned to a lot of the motifs of the series that I really like, which is, for instance, the fact that like once again the students of PS-118 are sort of very abjectly cruel, especially sort of in aggregate, even though we know all of those characters so well and we like all of them so well. I think that that's like, there's something about that that rings so true to the experience, particularly of like elementary school, is this idea that like, well, like, they are all your friends, Phoebe, but like also they are going to be absolutely terrible to you when you have this very human thing happen to you. And you're just going to have to accept that both of those things are true, even though it's like kind of a real bummer that that is true. I really like that Phoebe was the choice for the subject of this episode. I feel like that's kind of an unconventional choice. And I feel like in particular, this episode is really elevated in terms of its tension and its embarrassment by Phoebe being both a girl, and Phoebe in particular, right? Phoebe being so sort of like coded as like as petite and well-mannered and polite and very conscientious. To have that happen to her in particular, she would be the character that would be the most mortified by it. And I think that in particular, it's really interesting that they chose to make this a gendered episode, right? I think that like, if this had been an episode that followed a guy, it would have been way less hard hitting and probably a lot less sort of, true to life, I think. You know, there's just something, I just don't think that a lot of shows would have chosen to do this with a female character and do it with as much sort of like sympathy, I guess. Well, sort of like leaving room for sympathy for everyone too. Like, I think that throughout this, even as Phoebe herself says, like she even admits in her like big mad as hell speech that if she was in somebody else's shoes, she would probably think it's pretty funny too, which I enjoyed. And indeed, we've seen her act that way, right? Like when the rest of PS-118 are sort of yucking it up, she will often join them. I liked that, as always, right? I kind of like that Arnold is well-meaning but ineffectual, as ineffectual as Simmons, right? Like, Arnold does the classic thing where he's like, well, by tomorrow, everybody will have forgotten about it. And it's like, are you sure about that, Arnold? Are you sure about that? meanwhile, Simmons has his Freudian slip and says fart in front of the class, which I thought was really funny. I think that, like, it ultimately gets at a place. It's like an actual sort of lesson that is both heavily couched in realism, particularly realism that speaks to sort of like the kids who would be watching this episode, and sort of one that that still manages to be instructive, right? Which is just that, like, hey, like, if something embarrassing happens to you, it's going to suck for a while, right? And, like, you're not going to be able to rationalize it away, and probably you're never going to be able to appeal to anybody's, like, better natures, especially when you're in elementary school, because, like, that's just not how it works, and you're going to take it on the chin for a while. But then, hey, guess what? Like, Harold is going to piss his pants in front of everybody, right? The next thing is going to happen. Everybody will move on, and sort of, like, that's how these things operate. I think that there's something, like, way more admirable about being that honest about it than sort of taking the Arnold path and being like, well, like, Phoebe's speech would really work and everybody would care, because it's like the problem was not ever that her friends were like, they didn't care about her, right? It was just sort of like that this happened. And like Arnold said, it could have happened to anybody. And yes, it's particularly sucky that it happened to Phoebe, but that's just sort of how it is. That's what I took away anyway, but I'm really interested in what everybody thinks, especially you, Allegra.
Yeah, yeah. Allegra, looking forward to it. Yeah, I was putting a point on it. You're here for a reason, and I'm curious to know how much of that is due to Phoebe's little problem.
My own experience, Allegra's little problem. Just kidding. I have never farted it before. But
That's right.
Never. But I remember watching this as a kid, and I think, Harry, something you were saying about the realism, the sense of realism of this premise being something that kids watching, you know, fear and have perhaps even experienced, definitely was something that resonated with me as a kid. Again, I've never farted, but I remember that being a big, you know, a big fear. Like, people would spread it as like, you know, telling tall tales of other kids who maybe farted, or saying, oh, you don't want to be the kid that farts. I remember the first time someone did fart in class, and I was like, oh my God, they did it. They finally did a thing. And I was here to witness. Like, it was very much a, to me, it seemed traumatic, but everyone laughed it off. And perhaps it's because we watched this episode as children. But I also, you also mentioned that you feel like it's more of like a throwback to earlier episodes. But to me, I remember watching it. I mean, even rewatching it today for this, it always felt so absurd a little bit. Like, something I think about a lot is from The Simpsons. There's like that episode, that joke where they're like, oh, you know, we're running out of ideas, and now we're going to do like Mo gets a cell phone. Like, they're just throwing things together at some point, you know. This feels very much like a Mo gets a cell phone kind of episode, where it's like, let's pick farting in school and Phoebe and put them together. And I do like the idea that it is, you know, subversive, because it would be so obvious if it's like Harold or something. But then we do end up with Harold being the one who pisses all over his pants at the end, you know? So it does feel like a little bit of, we're taking a character we don't use a ton in these sort of like, you know, in a protagonist sense, and giving her this sort of absurd, if relatable, thing to experience. So yeah, I remember as a kid thinking, okay, why are we doing Phoebe farting now? Like, is this really, like, we're scraping bottom of the barrel? However, it is quite funny because it is Phoebe, and because the lines and the, you know, attempts at getting her all perked up to come back to school are terrible. Like, Stinky's is terrible. Helga's is so mean, telling her that she farts all the time at their sleepovers. That is so funny. And then, of course, it's a classic Arnold saves the day. So there are many things that did feel quite classic to me, but I definitely was like, as much as I can, again, not relate, but because I do not fart and never have, but as much as I understand this premise on a personal, real level, I always did think, and I still sort of do, that it feels very much like we are on the last legs of this show.
Yeah, yeah, that does come through in some of the cracks for sure. You can start to see that seeping through. Although I do agree that Phoebe as the choice of the subject for this episode is mm-hmm. is pretty optimal. Like maybe there's an opportunity for like a permutation of this, the stinky makes a stinky or whatever the case might be.
Maybe that just maybe like he takes a poop in his pants. I don't want that episode.
that's maybe the sequel. Maybe what comes after? Oh, what's worse than Harold peeing his pants? It's stinky, dropping a deuce. I'm glad that episode never got made, as far as I know. But I do definitely get a sense of like we feel the old DNA of the show, and also feel some of the new like latter half of the series DNA, like the season and four, season five stuff. The fact that Arnold yet again sort of insert, I mean, he is a part of this from the beginning because he's got a tin of prune cookies that he's pawning off on people on a school bus. And like he's part of, this situation from the beginning. Whether or not he feels some sort of semblance of guilt and sort of inserts himself that way remains to be seen. It's probably just because he's Arnold. But there is that marginal twist that's already been gestured at, where Arnold in his classic, goody-goody way is like, oh, Phoebe, just give him some time. By tomorrow, this will all blow over. But to like how Emily first characterized this, like this is the worst thing to ever happen to anybody. Like nobody, not only is nobody going to forget about something like this, and people don't forget about this sort of thing easily in elementary school. I mean, or I don't know, I've been working remotely for the last several years, but I'm sure if I ripped one in an office, people would be talking about that at the water cooler or what have you. For
people don't forget.
And it doesn't help, it just, maybe it's just because Harry and I recently watched Orson Welles's The Trial, but there's like a Kafka-esque undertone to all of this. We're just like the state, it's not so much that the stakes are comically ramping up, but it's just the worst thing happens, and then every choice that is made further ensures that people are not going to forget about this. Like Phoebe feeling so ashamed that she removes herself from school is like probably the right choice for her mental health, but it just like further puts a point on the fact that, oh, Phoebe's not here, remember when Phoebe farted, Mr. Simmons making the obvious Mr. Simmons choice, like, hey, let's join Phoebe at her house, her lone safe haven, and try and hash this out as human beings on this wonderful planet Earth. So just like a really ridiculous episode, but a really beautiful one. I'm an easy sell when it comes to farts. Farts are really funny. Even just like the three of you talking about really basic components of the narrative of this episode, I was giggling on mute. I'm a really easy sell for that sort of stuff. So I was always going to love this episode, even though, kind of like Emily, I don't know if I have a tangible memory of me watching this when I was a kid, because I'm sure if I did, I would have been obsessed with this.
First of all, it's extremely astute that Allegra, you pointed out that like, this is definitely like a dartboard sort of mm-hmm. episode where it was like, okay, like the first dart landed on farting, the second one landed on Phoebe. I completely get how you feel about that. Mm-hmm. One thing I always thought was kind of weird about this episode, and I'm sort of two minds about it, is like, I don't really like that they sort of play up the idea that Phoebe is a little Miss Perfect in the first act of this, like a little bit too much. I kind of understand why they had to do that, right? Like they had to reestablish her characterization so that her character arc on the episode would make sense. But it does have this like weird faint whiff, no pun intended, as Phoebe would say. Like
you intended it. Please continue, counselor.
It kind of feels like punishment a little bit. It's like, well, if you hadn't been such a weird know-it-all and eaten all those prune cookies, maybe this wouldn't have happened. And it's like, I don't know. It's like, I think that the episode works way better for me in that it's just sort of something that like has absolutely no, there was no preventing it. It was just something that happened, right? Something that's utterly human. But what I do like about that juxtaposition is that I really like that Phoebe is sort of like, she's aghast and feels like she doesn't deserve to be sort of treated this way because of like her perfect attendance record and because everybody knows her for all of these other things. And I think that the episode does a really good job of like demonstrating both sides of the absurdity inherent to that idea, right? It's like, yes, of course, Phoebe is more than a person who farted. Like they've all known her for years. She's so intelligent and cool and smart and funny, like she herself says she is. But also like listen, like, none of that is going to matter. You know, it just isn't. It's like, it doesn't matter that it could have happened to anybody. It doesn't matter that it's a freak accident. Everybody's just going to think of you as the kid who farted for a while. You know what I mean? There's just something like really true about that. I will say, while we're sharing, I did once let one loose real bad in my eighth grade math class. But you know what? It wasn't a big deal at all. And I think it's because I was a guy. Like, we were just like, I think we were like taking a test and it was completely silent, let it loose really bad, was not even sort of like arguable where it came from. Like, everybody knew it was me. Everybody laughed, but you know, I laughed too. And that was it. You know, and I have to think that if I had been a girl, or if I had been maybe someone with Phoebe's reputation, it would have come down harder on me. So maybe I was saved by my own disgusting reputation. Maybe I was already the Herald, so it wasn't as big a deal. But it's definitely a real thing. And it's definitely something that I was terrified about before and after the occurrence. So good on Hey Arnold for somehow finding such a resonant experience for kids to have, even if it does feel a little bit like they're scraping the bottom of the barrel, idea-wise.
Totally.
Thank you for that story time, Harry. I was going to say, on the note of punishment, and this being the very end of the series, very end of the last season, I was noticing it seems like they spent a lot less time on the animation in this episode and in the B episode, especially with like their mouths not moving as much. It's a lot like choppier. It's not as fluid of an animation, at least when it comes to like their voice acting and mouths matching up. But then some other stuff in the B episode on that note. But I wonder if that was, you know, Nickelodeon, the network, just like, yep, you're on your last legs here and we're going to save a little dough here and just kick the can down the road a few more episodes. But I don't know. Did y'all notice that at all?
I really noticed it in Grandpa's Packard, the B episode. I didn't really notice it in this episode, but like, they're definitely like, they use the sort of like anime fast motion lines a lot in Grandpa's Packard, and like they reuse some locations and sort of still for sure. Didn't notice it so much in this one. Maybe that's sort of a testament to the fact that I was more engaged by this one. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel similarly, actually, where I definitely felt like Grandpa's Packard was end of the budget line, like produced way late in the game, versus this one also felt a little bit choppy. But if you had told me it was a holdover from end of season 4 or something, I'd believe you. But overall, the animation definitely was taking a turn by this point, and I'm like, it does feel to me very late series, like across the board.
Yeah, that's, I hadn't thought about that, but that's, I mean, that's a really good point. I should have been on high alert the latter half of this episode when it starts snowing for whatever reason and everything is white. It was kind of a bizarre short whatever. Man, Harry, I wish I could back you up and provide a story of myself farting in my more vulnerable days. The one that I will put somebody else on blast, pun intended, who I was taking our friend Chris, who I don't think listens to this, so this is probably fine.
I've you don't have to use his last before. Name. It's fine. There are a lot of Chris's. I know who you're talking about, and that's enough.
Yeah. There are like 6 or 7 Chris's in the world, so I'm probably safe. But like, the difference with this is that like it was a test taking scenario, but it was like a mock AP calc or whatever, like a scenario where you're like, you're supposed to be silent, you're supposed to shut up, you're supposed to be very serious because the rest of your life will be determined by this exam. And we're just like in an enclosed space. Chris, if that's his real name, Chris just let one rip. No doubt who it was. He gave the biggest eating grin, and we could not keep it together for the rest of the test. And then we didn't amount to anything because it was a mock AP test, and so I mean, it's the highest stakes possible.
Yeah, the feds came in and locked you away and marked up your permanent record or whatever else they say is going to happen to you if you don't take those tests seriously.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, all that is to, well, not all that is to say, but getting back to the, with this being the end of the line, you know, if I feel a little bit better knowing that they saved the farting episode for the end of the series. If this series had peaked with the farting episode in like episode, you know, 16, what would I have to look forward to? Not nearly as much. That's for sure. Oh boy. Anything else that people have, as far as this episode goes, lingering, shout outs, threads that, that we didn't get to and I'm cutting us off too soon. Anything that we need to touch on before we let this one go?
Just sort of a kind of a historical trivia almost, but like apparently these episodes, and I think I actually remember catching them at the time, they were the last two episodes of Hey Arnold that actually aired on TV. They weren't really supposed to be. I'm not sure exactly why that happened. I think the Journal was supposed to be the last episode to premiere, which is makes sense because that's a very clear series finale. But it was these ones, and maybe that sort of contributes more to the weirdness. This is an extremely weird note to go out on, particularly the last or the next episode we'll talk about, which almost feels like a weird epilogue to the series in that context. But maybe we'll talk about that. So, yeah, I don't really know how that affects how we view these episodes necessarily, but it is interesting to note that, like, for some reason, Nickelodeon was like, this is the last time Hey Arnold will ever show on our network. Farewell.
I will say I was like very like clued into all of that stuff when I was a kid, and I remember, you know, seeing the Journal, and I was however old I was, young but still perceptive enough to realize, yes, this feels like it should be the end. And then knowing or seeing later on that there was a new Hey Arnold episode that I'd never seen before after that felt very odd to me. And I, you know, I wonder if that colored my impression at that moment, but I definitely was like, what is going on? Like, we went from this beautiful denouement to this, which is not to say it's a bad episode, but yes, it's like tonally very different from a very clear-cut, beautiful finale.
And sort of exacerbates the problem that you had with it, right? Which is it kind of feels like it's spinning its wheels. It's sort of like, if this came out after the Journal, it's like, all right, what are we doing here? like, why are you still happening? I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, truly. My one quick shout out I have is to the TikTok user Sumibi Club, who I stumbled across. He seems like a really nice guy. He and his buddies film these very low key videos of him just like cooking random, semi random, kind of like the same three or four types of dishes over, like on a coal grill or something like that, and they're always really hot, and he eats them. He looks like he's having the time of his life. But in a video from like 1 to 2 years ago, either he or somebody behind the camera farted, and it's very audible in the video. And every video that has been made since then, and he posts like anywhere from like 3 to 5 times a week, the top like dozen comments in any video are just like, I remember the fart. Just like NPCs in the comments being just like, I still remember, haha, the fart or something. It's just like, man, do anything else.
It's just Harold and Stinky
on burners
in the, yep.
yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I don't know. Shout out to Samibi Club. Hopefully you get past this.
Shout out to TikTok, and I was going to say shout out to Phoebe's cool and sweet parents and cool and sweet house, too.
Yeah. I always loved her house. I always wanted that house, insofar as I wanted a house as a child, but I wanted to go to that house. It was very cool.
Yeah, she has like a room where she spars with her dad. That was like the ultimate fantasy for me. It was like if I had a sword fighting room where I could sword fight with my dad, come on.
We probably already talked about, and sorry if I blacked out, and we already commented on it on this episode, but Phoebe's parents are voiced by like notable people, right?
Yeah,
like
George Takei and
Gene Smart.
I think that's right. Which is really cool, and they sound great.
Yeah, I always love when they pull in the big guns for Hey Arnold, but for yeah, like tertiary characters. Yeah, okay, Gene Smart seems to have voiced Reba Heyerdahl. So shout outs. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, much to consider. I should probably relieve some pressure so that I don't, so that something doesn't happen while I'm unmuted. I would not want to be roasted in the comments for any subsequent episode that we release. So stick around. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after the fart, the break. I don't know, man. Welcome back to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. We've got episode 94B up next, and that episode is called Grandpa's Packard. Vroom vroom. Original air date. Vroom vroom is not part of the episode title proper. I just did that for fun. Original air date, June 8th, 2004. The Wikipedia sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Grandpa's beloved Packard is stolen while at an antique car show, so Arnold and Grandma have to go detective mode in order to track it down. Detective mode wasn't even in scare quotes. Very impressive. Wikipedia really bringing it today. You know who also brought it? Are the folks who made this episode possible. Frank Weiss, for one. He directed the episode, and the writer's recliner this week was populated by none other than Joseph the Purdman Purdy and Craig Bartlett Esquire. He's not an Esquire, as far as I know. Let's get into takes. Harry, we'll start with you. What did you think about Grandpa's Packard?
Oh, boy. Yeah, thank you. I think I said I was of two minds about the last episode, or at least something about the last episode. I think that's also true of this one. I felt about this one kind of the way that Allegra felt about the last episode, where it's just sort of like, to me, it was very clear that we were running out of steam by the time this episode rolled around. It just kind of feels like a little bit of a nothing burger of an episode. And it kind of is playing the hits, right? Like we have Smythe Higgins, we have the Tim Curry character, we have a grandpa rivalry. Really, though, that's a frame story for what they wanted to do, which was sort of tell a grandma detective story, right? And I have to say, I did enjoy that quite a bit. I really liked that we finally got another grandma episode. It feels like it's been a really long time. I like that it was full of references to like old school detective stories like Dashiell Hammett and Raymond Chandler. Grandma keeps calling herself Spade the whole time and calls Arnold Marlowe. That's great stuff. I love the totally inexplicable twist ending, a real staple of the sort of noir genre, even if it's extremely silly in this episode. I really like that we get like the first act that sets up all of the usual suspects and then we rattle them off one by one. I just like that procedural feeling is kind of fun. That being said, like, I think I like this episode conceptually a little bit more than I do in practice. Maybe this is not a totally fair criticism, but I was literally like just looking at the wiki entry and they talked about how like, oh, like Arnold has paired up with Grandma a couple of times before. And then they listed the episodes and like some of the episodes they listed were like the best in the series, like Lockjaw, right? Which is like episode 2 and is like easily a top 5 episode of the entire show. And it's just sort of like, this is like a ghost of a show compared to the highs that we got in Lockjaw. You know what I mean? And it's like, maybe that's like not totally fair criticism because like they can't all be bangers. And I do love Grandma and I love the episode, but there's something about it that just felt really, really like down the middle of the plate. And not really in like a great way. You know what I mean? I don't know. I think it's really nice that like, it's ultimately about like how, Arnold's imagination is clearly inspired by and a product of his non-traditional home life, and that non-traditional home life is worth celebrating, right? Like at the end, he has a weird single instance of voiceover where he says, I wonder what it's like to have normal parents, which is like, it comes out of nowhere, our normal grandparents. But he's clearly happy that he doesn't, right? He's sort of smiling and chuckling to himself. That's a good moral. That's one of the strongest and most moving morals throughout the show, in my opinion. I just think it's been handled a lot better. I don't know. I think that there's something sort of audacious and hilarious about the fact that they made so many references to like Humphrey Bogart movies in their show that's marginally are allegedly for 9-year olds. So that's kind of cool, but it does sort of like create a weird energy, I guess. So yeah, I mean, this is not a bad episode by any means. I just don't think it's a great episode, I guess. Much as I love the Jolly Ollie Man. But maybe you guys feel differently, or maybe you feel similarly. Wow, I'm tripping over my words. But how do you feel?
I feel if you don't choose your words more carefully, the bogey hive is going to rise up and get us. It's, yeah. Fair points all around. I think it's only fair that we turn to the best sleuth in all the land, Emily, to dispense her thoughts about this episode. Emily, what did you think about Grandpa's Packard?
Well, thank you for asking, Cody. I think this is such a weird episode, and agree with a lot of what Harry was saying, that this feels kind of like, ghost of a previous episode, and kind of them playing to some of the best moments with Grandma and Arnold out on a case or driving around to solve something. The field trip episode especially, like calling back to one of the best in the series, my favorite in the series probably. But this one feels more hollow than that and any like earlier season moments. The animation also is like just really lacking, I guess, and was just probably done a lot more quickly than any other episode. You can tell, especially when they're talking. But when Grandma's driving on the motorcycle, we have a lot of the same repeat background where there's like they didn't do any background. They just did the like quick green and white animation, like they're flying through the city, which is fine too. I mean, but anyway, that's the quality of the animation and design is, I think pretty noticeable in this one. And, I think part of what bothers me about it is how Grandpa's character is, handled here. Like, aside from the very, very beginning where we have Arnold and Grandpa in the car, and Arnold goes, "Wow, you sure love jazz, huh, Grandpa? You always had that radio tuned to this station." And Grandpa's like, "Well, that's because it's stuck there. It'll only play this station." Like, that did make me laugh really hard. But then from there, I feel like this episode treated Grandpa in such a different way than usual, and in a way that was, like, kind of off character. Even just a little bit further into the scene where Arnold's like talking about the Packard or whatever, and Grandpa's like, "Well, no, the Packard's my one true love. Pookie's just my wife." Ha ha. But I'm like, yeah, okay. The hits of men who don't love their wives, but like, it doesn't fit with Grandpa, and it doesn't, I don't know. It's like off. Also, maybe that wouldn't feel as harsh if he wasn't flirting with the Jolly Ollie Man, yes, later in the episode, which was like a bit unsettling. And he's like, the animation is him like drooling and doing the eyebrows, and his tongue is hanging out of the side of his mouth. And it's just like, whoa, like, what are we doing here? And this doesn't even feel like Grandpa to me. But it's supposed to be like, oh, haha, funny. I guess, but yeah, I was bothered by that. And I was, I don't know. I think I was bothered too, just by the whole Jolly Ollie Man plot. And I like seeing his perspective though. I like them wrapping up the mystery of, oh, he's the one who did it. And because this is the type of day he was having, like seeing his perspective, which we've gotten in at least one other episode, maybe two, that he just sees the world a lot differently, and they've drawn that up, in a very vibrant way. But, I don't know. I was just unsettled, I guess, by the whole episode. And I also think that the plot didn't totally make sense. Even maybe it was because I wasn't completely sober when I watched it, but at first I was like, wait a second. The cops are laughing and saying there's 350 other stolen cars. Are the 350 other stolen cars the Packards from the show? Like, did he steal all the Packards just to get to Grandpa's Packard? Or what? Those are just other random 350 cars that were, like, just the beat skips past? So I don't know. Wasn't fully on board with this one, I guess. But it's funny that the radio's always tuned to that beautiful jazz station.
Yeah, and hopefully if you're listening to this, your podcast station is always set to this one. It's Stoop Kids. That's my segue. Allegra, what did you think about Grandpa's Packard?
Yeah, Emily, I don't feel as strongly negative about it as you, but I do think a lot of it felt out of character to me. The points you made about Grandpa's relationship or take on, you know, grandma and the horn dog behavior he was exhibiting at the car show, all of that felt very out of character and odd. But I think I was taken by the parody of it, the detective parody of it. You know, I loved how grandma kept calling Arnold Marlowe. I thought that was very funny. It was nice to have a grandma plot that was purely absurd. Like, I think this two-parter or this pair of two episodes is just quite strange and out of the normal for the show. But of course, we're at the end of the show's lifetime. But this one felt a little bit less of a dartboard for me. You know, it does feel in keeping with grandma, at least, that she would go play detective and just do something so purely silly. So it didn't ruffle my feathers quite as much that everyone was kind of, you know, keyed up and really doing something that's highly arch and tropey. But I will say the Jolly Ollie Man reveal and the fact that he was like dressed as a woman for the whole episode with, I guess, like white face technically, that was all very odd. It didn't really take me by surprise because of how the episode started, but I was like, this is still a really weird choice that the episode's making to end on. It all just feels really frothy though, so I'm like kind of whatever about it. It's fun, it's cute, it's silly, but it is, when you think about it in the context of when and how it aired, it's pretty disappointing.
Yeah, well said. And all of you as well. This is almost kind of a cop-out response. I feel like I just wanted more of this, and that's like my biggest sort of, if I can call it a gripe, but like there's much of this, as much as I also enjoyed the like the noirish take, like there, you know, it, as the show often does, like sliding into a particular series of tropes or a particular genre and just kind of riffs on it for a little bit. There are certain instances or like that exploration here felt a little bit more abbreviated just because to get the full windup, you need to set the scene. And we spend the first half of the episode roughly setting this scene before we can actually go on and do the investigation. And those interactions with, like, I loved the throwback, you know, we're throwing it back to characters who have been on the show in the past. That's like, again, another flavor that I really enjoy and love it when the show does. I don't think they really do it often enough, at least for my liking. But like, how awesome would it have been if this were like, you know, whether it's make it the full half hour or do like a Who Shot Mr. Burns scenario, where I think that was like two double episodes. I could be misremembering, but just like make an event out of it, like have it, let this story really breathe, so that you can let the leak lighter, Tim Curry's leak lighter, occupy a scene for more than 25 seconds. You know, you can really get your money's worth with him or something like that. So that's, you know, we can get more of the Peter Lorre stand-in, as it was mentioned, like those weird, like little tropes that are probably not necessary for a show geared toward children. But as a group of not children who just watched this episode and I don't know, really enjoyed it, depending on your mileage. I appreciated the weird Peter Lorre 30-second character. But the grandpa, the way that grandpa's characterized in this episode is a good point. And I didn't realize it in the moment, but it didn't really fall into, I think, like, you know, you need Pookie occupying her slim, and you need Arnold being her sidekick. It would have been really cool to see grandpa occupy the counterbalance of either he's really invested in along for the ride, or he's just like almost completely oblivious to the scenario. He, as somebody who, as a character who I feel like sometimes, without citing specifics, sometimes occupies the role of like, I'm not really concerned with material possessions. And like, it's cool that my car won this auto show, but whether or not you find this car, I don't care. I'm old, never eat raspberries, la, la, la. Like, that's also kind of the grandpa way. And then if he just lets Pookie and Arnold get really into, you know, their detective shtick, that would be a cool angle to occupy. But instead, he's like very casually dismissive towards Pookie, and you dropping lines like that's not the only thing that's well preserved to somebody who turns out to be the Jolly Ollie man. Really eyebrow raising stuff from Grandpa. Feels weird, but ultimately I enjoyed this episode. Maybe I was still riding high from the farting episode right before it, but there's a lot I enjoyed with this despite its very intense weirdness.
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, I think we've talked about this before, but Allegra's right. The Jolly Ollie man has always been a pretty weird and problematic character in this show. It's very 90s, but just like both in terms of the fact that like he's very clearly coded as a man of color, one of the rare men of color, especially adult men of color on the show. So not super great that he's also like a paranoid schizophrenic. Also, in general, like the funny joke that there is a dude living in the city who is a paranoid schizophrenic, and like that his mental health problems like puts him at loggerheads with the kids sometimes is sort of like really a dog whistle for like some real urban problems that like did not need to be addressed in that way. They do not ever really show a modicum of empathy to the Jolly Ollie man in the same way that they do most other characters. All of that's not great. Unfortunately, like it almost works with the tropes of the noir, right? That it's like this left field, ridiculous character. That's not an excuse for it, but I did think it was funny for that reason. Cody, you mentioned the movie references. There are a lot of them in this episode. You could really tell this was a Craig joint because he's such a movie head. I found the Peter Lorre cameo so charming in how utterly inexplicable it was. Like, he so clearly just wanted to draw Peter Lorre. I love that. It's like Peter Lorre's not even necessarily associated with that genre, unless you're talking about M, I guess, but he plays the killer in M. So like that's
like you could draw the line from him to, I mean, you mentioned Bogey, like Casablanca. Yeah. Not that I'm like the world's foremost Peter Lorre expert, but right? I don't know.
But yeah,
somebody on his staff had a middling Peter Lorre impression that they really just wanted to sneak in before the end of the series. I can't really fault him for that.
Yeah, more power to him, honestly. That's great. I think that the most substantive critique of Emily's is a really strong one about Grandpa. In particular, I think it's a disappointment because, like, I have some issues with the fact that, like, I feel like we never really, despite the show's best efforts, I never really felt super comfortable with Grandma and Grandpa's relationship, with Phil and Pookie's relationship, right? Like, it's just not characterized very consistently, even though they clearly love each other very much. In this episode, it feels particularly bad because, like Grandma is doing all of this for you, Phil. Like, she goes in the detective mode because he is making such a stink about his car. And like, I would have liked some recognition of that by the end of the episode, instead of him being a weird, horny old man, which again is like, there is like an argument to be made that that's consistent with his character because of like littler jokes, but like, it's so consistent in this episode that it's a little upsetting. Let's see. I guess my last critique, or if you want to call it a critique, is exactly what Cody said, which is that I really wanted more of this, not necessarily this episode specifically, but now that we've arrived at the sort of the end of the series, like I'm feeling kind of nostalgic, and I'm realizing that I think Grandma's a bit underutilized as a character throughout the series. I remember her being in more episodes than she ended up being in. I said earlier on in this episode that like, oh, there have been a couple of episodes where Arnold teams up with Grandma, and I cited Lockjaw, but I think that's kind of the only one, right? Up until now. And this kind of feels like an episode that should have been made many more times, right? Like, I would have loved to have seen as much Grandma as we got Grandpa, but like, Grandpa was like very clearly a more major character in the series than Pookie was. And I think that's kind of a shame, you know? I mean, it's hard to criticize, right? Because like, there's only so much time, and like, there was a huge ensemble of characters, but like, I guess it just sort of like goes to show you that like even a show as accomplished as this one, like there are not necessarily missed opportunities, but like there could have been more, there could have been something else, right? And I was kind of in my feelings about that a little bit.
Yeah, I haven't, you know, done a very close rewatch of the show as you all have. But I do remember, I mean, regardless of remembering or not, like Grandma definitely is one of my favorite characters, and her chance to really get that moment to her own was always, it always felt pretty rare. So I love the idea of this, you know, if in a better world, this could have been a half hour. Like, love the, you know, the reference you made, Cody, to Who Shot Mr. Burns, right? Like, I think that would have been a fun way to do this sort of experimental story, because it is purely just a parody. So really leaning in and going for the full 30 would have been a much more fun and perhaps satisfying way, instead of shoehorning this, you know, existing character as the bad guy in a bizarre way. Totally agree with you, Harry, on the complicated nature of the Jolly Ollie Man, who always disturbed me on many levels. And now that I'm older and can understand a little bit more why, continues to irk me. But yeah, I mean, I do think this feels very tossed off in that way of, you know, they needed the 11-minute B side to the farting episode. And while this is a fun concept, it feels like a proof of concept more than, you know, a well-realized episode.
Yeah, especially since, like Cody said, I feel like we spend fully half of the episode at the car show. To the point that, like, when they just sort of, like, very unceremoniously say, like, and Steely Phil won the car show, and then we move on, I was like, wait, what? Like, I thought that the episode was going to take place at that car show, and then it just becomes a different episode. But we have, like, 7 minutes left or whatever, right? So, yeah, I think that's right. And it just, like, even if it wasn't going to be a half-hour episode, I think it could have been paced a little bit differently. I would have loved to have spent more time with, like, the individual interrogations, for instance, because I think that's really where, like, the meat of the episode lives.
True.
Totally.
Yeah. Anything else that we have dangling from the threads of discourse that we want to get out there? My lone shout out, and the most pointless of the movie references in this episode, and therefore the one that got the biggest laugh out of me, is when Grandpa breaks into
The Shining,
the Jolly Ollie Man's garage and just goes, "Here's Grandpa," which, why? It's not even, right? It's not a noir. It does not fit with the, like, the tone or the I don't know, the themes of this episode at all, whatever it is they're trying to do. That being said, because it was so sporadic and random, I liked it a whole bunch. So thanks, Craig. But yeah, that's I don't know what else y'all got, dangling threads, etc.
I just I have to think that that's just another, like, sheer indulgence on the part of the creators. They were like, listen, we're almost done, this is one for me, I want Dan Castellaneta to do the line so bad. And, like, you know, that's fair. I would be constantly trying to get Dan Castellaneta to say whatever I wanted him to say too. I guess my weird shout out is that, again, we've discussed that this episode is problematic. I do love that. I love the ACAB that's going on in here. I love that you can't trust the cops. They go to the cops and it's like a big joke. They're just like, oh yeah, we don't even try to solve. I mean, I think it's like, it's almost a Big Lebowski reference, right? Where it's like, they're like, oh yeah, yeah, we're pursuing all the leads. We're really looking for that stolen car. We've got our best men on it. And they all chuckle to themselves,
yeah,
you know,
they're laughing at him. Like, he came in asking for a Turbo Man doll or something. And they just just laugh in his face. It's like, yeah, we'll find your car.
Yeah.
Really good.
Shout outs to Restorative Justice King, Grandpa, for letting the Jolly Ollie Man off. He's just like, yeah, I'm not pressing charges. He's a staple of our community. He doesn't say that, but it's implied. So that's good. That's good.
Yeah, man, cops sure are getting a lot of screen time in season 5. The especially that Fargo cop, ACAB for sure. And I just want to say justice for Grandma. Definitely wish there were more Grandma folks episodes. Yeah. Grandma rules.
Yeah, definitely. I love seeing her with Arnold. They're just such a fun pair. Like, I love Arnold and his grandparents, but especially seeing him with them separately, you know, is such a fun treat. And obviously we see Arnold with Grandpa, you know, just the two of them quite a lot, but Arnold and Grandma have such a fun dynamic.
Yeah, it like it feels like such a missed opportunity, right? Because it's like when I think about it, I think about like Mugged and I think about Field Trip, and it's like, wait, like Arnold and Grandma together is like one of the best dynamics the show ever made. And like they almost never use it, it feels like, which is such a shame. But and like a surprising shame in that right up until like basically now that we've reached the end, I guess I like never considered it because I always just assumed there was another Grandma episode coming. You know what I mean? I was just like, oh, well, surely like she looms so large in like my memory of the show that there must be more content with her approaching. But then there just kind of wasn't. So she's just a great character that's a little underutilized.
Yeah, it's a darn shame. Seeing Arnold together with his grandmother felt like a breath of fresh air watching that unfold. And so it made sense for us to have Allegra on this particular episode to evoke those same feelings for our listeners, for those who are listening to this. Allegra, thank you so much for being here this week. Where can people find you if you want to be found? Do you have anything you want to plug? Things like that.
I want to plug that amazing transition. Killer work on that one. Yes, you can find me on Twitter, assuming it still exists by the time this episode is out. I am at LegsFrank on there. And yeah, go read my writing on thedailybeast.com. Do not look for me anywhere else.
You heard it here.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah, I know we got some snoopers in the audience, so listen to Allegra. But yeah, beyond that, thank you very much for listening, dear listener. This has been Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod, and that's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH, assuming that Twitter still exists by the time this episode drops.
Thanks so much for joining us, Allegra. I've been Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Chitake Harry.
Yeah, thank you so much, Allegra. That was great to have you back. I've been Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
That's right. And if you've made it this far, you have reached the rear end of the episode, and therefore... Good night, everybody. Our viewers will not get to see this because we don't leverage our YouTube channel all that much. That's reserved for our buddy Craig, rightfully so.
True.
Hey, you watched our story today.
Did he really?
He's creeping. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
He's just waiting for that invite. He was like on CNN Brazil or whatever with that other podcast. We don't stand a chance. He's found cooler friends now.
Oh.
We can't be possessive. El Arnaldo's a very good podcast. I was a little jealous. Of course, I was a little jealous. I'm only a man.
I'm still very jealous.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of this Jason will put in. Hopefully none of it, but we'll start talking about episode V now.